Hello there, beautiful people. You are listening to the Montpelier Happy Hour today on WVEW LP Brattleboro. I'm your host, Olga Peters, and this is the show where we talk about how everything in Montpelier shakes out for the rest of us. I want to welcome the lovely representative Emily Kornheiser from Brattleboro. Good morning.
Good morning, Olga. Very nice to see you on this cold and icy morning.
Yes, listeners, Emily sent me a text this morning saying she needed a few minutes because her well, how did you say it? Your stove wasn't sparking. And then you had to follow it up with, this is not a metaphor.
My fire isn't early, quite people. Starting. Yes.
Yes.
My fire isn't quite starting.
And I had to laugh because my working title for this episode is what we talk about when everything feels like work. So, folks, thank you for joining us today. Emily, I don't know about you, but I've been sitting with the fact that we've only had two or three snowstorms, and I'm already over winter, and we're coming to the end of 2024, which is usually for me a time of great excitement. Because it's the new year and there's going to be new opportunities and everything's fun and exciting and it's change and yay. And I'm just like, oh, I have to declutter my house. So I don't know about you, as we're ending this year and getting ready for the new session, I'm feeling like everything's work. I think I've lost some of my curiosity, feeling a little worn out. Is it just me or what are you sitting with?
It's definitely not just you. I think we have, as a world, as a country, definitely as a country, probably even more as a state, been like in catastrophe after catastrophe. And it's hard to feel hopeful and buildful in that catastrophe. I was just messaging with a legislative colleague about sort of some very concerning news about an organization in Vermont that like plays a really important role in stuff working well. Not the hospital system, not the school system, different than those two systems that are sort of like very publicly in catastrophe. And she was like, yes, we're working on it. We need to make sure that they are like stabilized and staying open. And I was like, that's one of the things I was hoping to expand this year in order to just like meet Vermonters' needs. And every organization I work with, whether that's like my professional, more paid life or my legislative professional life, or my personal life, and like the fact that I don't really have a plan for getting for my walkway being shoveled, all of those things all together, it just feels like our communities so desperately need growth and connection and creative plan making, and everyone and every organization that I know is just struggling to be stabilized. Also, I'm so sorry, dear listeners, but we are a Southeast Vermont based show, and I've got to say, Mercury's in retrograde.
Oh, is it? Okay, that explains so much.
So sorry if you're somewhere else in Vermont or somewhere else in the country and you're like, oh my gosh, those hippies. But that's how we talk down here, and you just have to get with it if you're going to keep on following.
Well, if I'd known Mercury was in retrograde, I just would have gone back to bed this morning.
I'm so sorry I didn't tell you last night when we were planning the show.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, part of my wah-wah with the new year is, for folks who know, I study feng shui, and we're going into the year of the snake, which is just, you know, for my tiger self, kind of like, year of the snake. Not looking forward to it.
What is, I feel like I'm about to play a game of animal, rock, paper, scissor. probably not appropriate in whatever taxonomy we are talking about. But what is the relationship between the tiger and the snake, Olga?
Oh, they have very different energies. Snakes tend to, if you think about a snake when it moves, it moves really beautifully and it snakes along, as they say. But when you really look at it, it lines up each vertebrae, 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 vertebrae. So there's a certain level of alignment, there's a certain level of organization, there's a certain level of orderliness to snake energy, that for the tiger, which is a much bigger, much more head for the horizon, just run your little butt off energy, they can kind of clash sometimes. They have different elements too. Snake is the metal trine, and fires and tiger's the fire trine. So elementally, they don't always work either. So just there you go. So all you tigers out there, or all you people in the fire trine, horses and dogs, you've been warned.
I feel warned, though I don't know what animal I am.
We'll have to look that up sometime because I
We
have no
will, we
idea.
will, but not right now because that is
No.
not really what the show is about.
Even though we have so veered away from what the show is about.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about what the show is about, Olga. So much of what the show is about is people trying to control the uncontrollable. Sorry again,
Interesting.
dear listeners. We're just going there today. That's just like, you know what? If you're not in it, if you're not in it for the woo-woo or whatever you want to call it, like just don't listen to this episode, okay? Or if you're like, I need a meaningful pick-me-up, also go find a different podcast today. We are just going to like go deep on what this month feels like and what's possible in next year.
Yeah,
So
you can tune in next week. We'll talk with some of the new lawmakers who are all excited about becoming l new lawmakers. And then we'll hear the week after from the Vermont Historical Society. So you can come back for those non-woo-woo
yeah, hope and
episodes.
change, anchoring ourselves in history. We love both of those things. That's just not where we are this week.
Nope.
Nope. Gosh, I forgot what my brilliant thought was about
So sorry.
these wild times we're living in. Oh, okay. Trying to control the uncontrollable. So politics, even like getting to the root words here, the poly, the people. The idea that this one person is somehow like steering the fates, the temperaments, the vibes
Bring it back to the woo-woo, baby.
of all of these people and the moment that they're in is bonkers, right? It's hopeful, it's amazing, it's extraordinary, it's beautiful, it's inspiring as an idea, but the reality of it is totally irrational. And, you know, before we started the show, we talked about like my colleagues that aren't coming back to the state house who worked so hard for their communities, put their like noses to the grindstone. That is the weirdest expression. Is that really the expression? Now that I'm like visualizing that, that's very
I think
awkward.
that's the right expression, but you know, it kind of ouch.
But you know, they really like did the work. They cared deeply about their communities, and they did not win re-election because the fates and the temperaments and what people were looking for is just different this year. And what is so hard about that in the upcoming session, and like, yes, we will not have the same size majority we had before, and that's going to make things harder in certain ways and maybe easier in other ways. And like, and like what it means for the Democrats, all of that, that's a different show. What right now feels huge about it is actually it was a lot of people who worked, some of the hardest workers in the building, like some of the most skilled, most careful, most focused on complex issues, people in the building are the ones that did not get reelected. And that feels like an epic loss for just the capacity of the state to do its job. So that's one thing that I'm just like sitting with. And like what that means for like how we try to control these things. Last night we had a special representative town meeting in Brattleboro.
Oh, I missed that.
Because there was a petition to overturn a very controversial community safety ordinance that the select board
Yes.
had passed.
Yeah.
And we actually voted to overturn the ordinance, which surprised me. And one of the things that kept, and like that's also another show, a conversation about that. But one of the things that really surprised me, was just how often it came up and people were comfortable saying, these issues that we're grappling with this very finite and non-discerning tool, are like huge national issues,
Yeah.
right? And the fact that we're like here in Vermont, consider ourselves so special and are so special. We are so special. We love our community so much. Like we really do. But like we're gonna solve homelessness and healthcare. And like someone last night, and I have not verified this information, said that income inequality hadn't surpassed the Great Depression and was like right before the French Revolution in terms of like metrics
Oh,
in
interesting.
America right now. I have no idea if that's true, but it's a great talking point. And like somehow here in Vermont, we're going to control these global issues, right? We're going to fix these global issues for our neighbors because we care about them. And so just like this, and I think that's part of why December feels so heavily December to me right now. It's like we're so much going on. I mean, the national election, we'll get into that, but like we all have such a strong sense that we can control, or we have to control, the uncontrollable. And everything is just like swirling faster and further out right now, including just like the epically weird weather.
Yeah. You know, every morning when I wake up, I do a check-in with myself, and I check in with my breathing, I check in with my body, and I check in with my emotions. And
I'm so jealous and impressed.
thank you.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it became necessary from blowing out my nervous system those past couple of years. But one thing that really struck me this morning is the number of mornings I've woken up, and when I get to checking in with my emotions, it's uncertainty that I've just been feeling so uncertain about everything, decisions I'm making, things I have to do, where are my priorities, just those sort of things. And I think a lot of people in my life are feeling that too, and the need to control the uncontrollable. But that led me to other thoughts about, because I was getting ready for this show, about Vermont in general and how we have such an interesting task on our hands. Not only, like you said, there's so few of us, and we want to change these big national, in some cases global issues, but we've kind of got an interesting imbalance in ourself, in that as a state, to get the most done, to really reach like that, I'm forgetting the term, scale, the right scale, the right numbers, we really should be operating a lot from like the state level, because that's where we have enough population and enough resources pooled at the state level. And yet our towns have so many in their own individual needs that to balance that, like it's like in the education funding, that local control with that full statewide ed fund, you know, that it just seems a little bit like a boat that just keeps rocking side to side because it can't balance itself. That was something that I was thinking this morning, especially around like the hospitals and the education system.
I like wake up, I look at my phone. Get like devastated by the New York Times, and then I like slowly crawl out of bed. I aspire to some sort of morning meditative practice. I'm
I
very
have a rule that I am not allowed to look at the internet
I have made that rule for
in the
myself
morning.
many a time, and yet the rule does not hold. So I, you know, freedom and unity, Olga, freedom and unity. And I think what's interesting is I think we sort of understand what unity means in a certain way, and I don't think we understand what freedom means. And I think it's fascinating this tension in freedom. Like, is local control freedom? I often, you know, one thing that I've seen, and I feel like the League of Cities and Towns is going to like shoot me down with a laser in my office right here with what I'm about to say next.
Yes, if the lightning bolts will come down.
But issue upon issue, I have seen that local. The more localized the control of something, often the more bias creeps in, right? And the more sort of like discretionary enforcement and the more differences in appraisal values, you know, like all of these things, which are not, you know, in some ways are not freedom, right? Like it's a violation of basic tenets of constitutional rights, right? And it's sort of the freedom to negotiate things with your, with the systems that control your life, right? And that is a certain freedom. And I'm just going to argue my way out of the thing I'm already saying. I think that the, you know, I think a well-functioning state government has a much better system for nego should have a much better system for negotiating your rights with than sort of what can be arbitrary and capricious local control. And I want to be clear, like I don't think that there are like hordes of malevolent actors floating around in like Vermont government or Vermont lives. I think that we're all like very, very much doing the best we can with the resources we have in front of us. And like very few of us have enough resources in front of us to do the jobs before us. And part of that is scale, and part of that is stories we tell ourselves about what's needed. And
Well, and
system
what's
after
available.
system, conversation after conversation, I am saying to organizations lately, like, we need more from you. The state needs more from you. You know that. You're exhausted from that. Can we talk about what you actually need in order to fulfill that greater need? And it's really hard for people to get their heads around that.
I think, unfortunately, I have a thought on freedom, but
Why
before
is it
I say
unfortunate that you have a thought?
it, because I started a sentence and then went into another sentence. Now I forgot what I was gonna say.
Oh, I'm so
Oh,
sorry.
it's gonna be one of those days.
Do you think anyone will listen to this show?
Those who are stuck in traffic, on the new bridge because they're figuring out the traffic patterns, they're gonna be listening because, they can't get over to the radio station to change it. We, I think, have been working in a system so long where it's we meet our needs or we shoehorn our needs into the available resources rather than asking what resources we need to meet our needs. Just as an example, I was looking at my budget the other day and someone said, "Well, what can you cut?" Which is usually the first question, and it's a very good question when you're looking at your budget and reevaluating it. But there's a point where you've cut so far that now you're almost going backwards, like delayed. Now you're into delayed maintenance. And when you finally go to fix those delayed maintenance things, they're now even more expensive and the problems are bigger because you've cut, 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 cut. And it's that balance. But I think we have been cutting for so long in many ways as a state and as communities that we have a lot of delayed maintenance around a lot of systems and a lot of needs. My
And I
thought
want
on
to be clear, like, we're not the only ones. Like, this is true across rural America. I think what is exceptional in Vermont, and I don't mean exceptional, like fabulous, I mean like the exception, is it's funny that those are the same word. Is that a lot of states where that is true are states that are much more like New Hampshire culturally, or Wyoming, that have very much fully embraced an individualist ethos. And so sort of like the slow decay and pressure on systems is accepted by the populace in favor of individualist something. And yet in Vermont, we like are encountering all of these same sort of problems of rurality in a country where the like federal government has really reneged on a lot of its responsibilities. And I'm using some very fancy words now that we're
You
so far
are.
into the show, Olga.
The
Wow.
tea and the tea
The
has
tea's
kicked
really
in.
kicking in. The warmth is kicking in from the stove. I'm like in it. Vermont still wants to like care for our neighbors and have government work and do all these things. And so we're like stuck in this like betwixt and between place that I think is really hard for folks to get their heads around. And so everyone's asking for more from it in one direction or another, whether that's like more fiscal restraint or more community support. In some ways, neither of those things are possible, like given the status of the resources available to us.
I think I grapple less with the betwixt and between. I was covering something years ago, and this group, it was a study for something that was happening in Brattleboro, and I don't even remember what the study was anymore. But a group of researchers from Harvard came up to do it. And one of the researchers said when he arrived in Vermont, he'd never been here before, he's like, I could not get my head around these communities. I didn't understand them. He says, and then it hit me that what you really are, and I thought this was brilliant, he says, is that Vermont is essentially a social, they're socialist libertarians, meaning we care about our state, we care about our community, we want our neighbors taken care of, but we don't want anyone telling us what to do. And I just always thought that was a brilliant and kind of hit the clashes we can have with ourselves sometimes. Before we go on, I do want to say about freedom, when you talk about freedom and unity, I think one thing we often leave out of the conversation about freedom is we're very good, especially as a country, talking about what freedom lets us do. Or what we assume freedom will let us do. But we don't often talk about the responsibilities of living in a free society and what it means. What are your responsibilities as a citizen or community member in a free society? And yeah, I think we just leave that out of the conversation a lot.
Maybe we should talk about that after the break.
Sure.
Okay.
We can do that.
That seems like a fun one.
I can see the wheels turning in Emily's mind right
They're very
now.
visible today. My whole face. I like, for the three people that might watch us on BCTV, it is an expressive face kind of day.
We had someone comment on one of our videos on YouTube.
Did they say a kind thing, Olga?
Actually, they said, I think, a very honest thing that I appreciated. It was in response to the conversation we had with Amanda from the Vermont Historical Society about how hippies saved Vermont, that story. And they responded to that. And I think it really talked about where they were as a Vermonter living in Vermont at this time.
Cool.
So it wasn't mean, it wasn't nice,
Great.
it was honest.
Ah, that's fantastic. I've grown fearful of the internet comments. So I am glad to hear that someone was just sort of showing up to participate. Speaking of showing up to participate, I over Thanksgiving, while I was cooking, listened to a lot of sort of like cooking advice podcasts, because that's a delightful thing to do while cooking, if you're me. And I think it would be so fun to have like a political advice show where we like collected questions about like small town participation or like state participation from people, and then just sort of like talk to each other about them.
Okay.
I think that would be super duper fun if you
That would
wanted to
be
do a show
fun.
like that. And if folks are interested in sending in questions for that show, you could do that. Where would people send an email to, Olga?
How about just the Montpelier Happy Hour at gmail.com?
Great. So people would write to montpelierhappyhour@gmail.com with your pressing like political participation questions. Like, there's this law that's really annoying. What do I do about it? Or I like think I want to run for the select board. What's the first thing I should do? Or I like think that something in my school budget needs to change. Who do I talk to? I don't know, all that stuff. Or like, why are my taxes so high? Whatever it is, like just call in with your need for Montpelier Happy Hour advice, and we will make a show about it.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
Me too. And you know what, people, if you don't call in or write, we're just going to make up questions for the show and so you'll never know. So make get your question in because it'll be better than whatever we come up with.
We don't even have to make it up. We have probably, between the two of us, attended enough public meetings that we have probably heard a lot of these questions. We wouldn't even have to make them up
Yeah.
unless we wanted to have fun.
Might be fun.
Well, on that note, folks, Emily and I are going to take a quick break here on WVEW LP Brattleboro so we can hear from some underwriters. So if you haven't driven yourself off the bridge yet from listening to the first half of the show, come back to hear about freedom and responsibility and all those really fun things. Welcome back to the second half of the Montpelier Happy Hour here on WVEW 107.7 LP Brattleboro. I'm your host and producer of the show. If you're just joining us on the Happy Hour here, and I'm speaking with regular contributor, Representative Emily Kornheiser from Brattleboro. And Emily, you made me laugh so hard during the break that I totally forgot what we were saying for the introduction. So did I forget anything?
Well, Olga, I do believe I usually say the views and opinions expressed here on the Montpelier Happy Hour are those of the host and the guests, respectively, and not the station. But I think you got the VEW. I think usually thank the
Forgot BCTV. We have to thank BCTV for taking the video version of this show, sharing it with media centers around Vermont.
We are so lucky here in Vermont to have so many local papers and
We really are.
nonprofit media outlets and radio stations and public radio and our community television stations and like rando community websites. I'm glad for all that. What's going on outside your window there, Olga?
Someone's in my driveway.
Oh, do you want to take a little pause here?
Nope. I think now they're leaving. Okay. I didn't even think they'd be able to get down and up the driveway. The driveway's a bit of a mess right now, so I'm glad they got down and got back up.
I'm glad too.
But yeah, 8:25. Someone's in my driveway. There's a reason I don't walk around the house in just my PJs. Anyway, we were talking about freedom before we took a break to hear from some underwriters and the responsibility of being in a free society. What did that bring up for you, Emily? It seemed to spark something.
One thing I've been thinking about a lot lately in terms of sort of the responsibility related to freedom and governance, has come up in both the conversations I've been overly engaged in related to schools, and came up quite strongly last night at Brattleboro Representative Town Meeting. So, Brattleboro Representative Town Meeting, for folks who don't know, is a funny Brattleboro, the one and only construct. Rumor has it we started doing it because not enough people showed up at town meeting, actually. But I don't even know if that's rumor is true. And that's, I think we created Brattleboro Representative Town Meeting in the 70s, and I'm sure we could have someone
No, I think
on
it's older than that, even.
older than that.
Yeah, it might be the 50s.
Okay. We could, Peter Elwell is, I believe, chair of our Charter Change Commission. So maybe we could have him on to discuss such things if we wanted to. But anyway, Brattleboro Representative Town Meeting, we elect people to attend our town meeting. And we elect them on town meeting day and then by district. And then that's, but then from there, those folks just like act like any other town meeting body. But what's funny about it is there are never as many people running as there are seats. And so then the day of town meeting, people can caucus in. And there are also, especially in West Brattleboro, the district I live in and represent, there are usually not even enough people to caucus in. And then there's always like people who are elected who can't make it to the meeting. Anyway, so yesterday at Representative Town Meeting, we were discussing this community safety ordinance. So many more people came to caucus in than there were seats to caucus in for. It was wild. There was like this very raucous election for the caucus in seats. It was all quite a thing. We had to go to multiple rounds of voting. The meeting got delayed because of how long the caucusing took. Anyway, so one thing that struck me is like, you need to show up. And we've talked about that before, and how hard it is to show up when you have like kids and jobs and groceries and dinners and snow and whatever.
Well, and there's also a certain level of you want to understand the issue when you get there too. So then you've got all that homework on top of the kids and the jobs and the
Yeah. And then the other thing that came up that someone said at that meeting and has come up a lot in the context of education finance is what, like, the balance between saying no and figuring out what you're saying yes to. And I think that is one of the hardest parts for me of the freedom, like one of the places of greatest frustration that I experience. And I think everyone has a right to say, like, no, I don't like that idea for how you want to change things. And it's really, really hard to be operating in an environment where people are just saying no, and no one is taking the time to figure out what they would say yes to.
That's a good point.
And that for me, like, that's where a lot of the responsibility lies. And sometimes people, we've talked about this before, like, the people aren't sure what they want to say yes to because what they really want to say yes to is like the way things used to be or something not changing. But the reality is, like,
Something certain.
yes, or something certain. But the reality is, like, none of that is possible. And so people need to figure out what they want to say yes to in the context of change. And that takes a lot of attending. And that's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we also have to acknowledge that there's, in that context of what are we saying yes to, what are we saying no to, there's been a lot of change, I think, in Vermont that, again, coming back to that state level versus local level, that maybe has not felt good for a lot of people, or maybe even left people out. For example, going back to the comments that someone left on our YouTube page about the episode we did with Amanda, their comments were kind of like, yeah, the and I'm totally paraphrasing, so I hope I'm not putting words in this person's mouth, but at least what it resonated with me was, yeah, a lot of folks came to Vermont, and there was a lot of change, but it also opened Vermont for some of these other things that this person felt were negative, like commercialism and high taxes and things like that. And so I think we also have to acknowledge that sometimes saying yes can be scary if you have memories or examples of when other change has not gone well.
Oh my God, yes. And I think participating can be scary when you have other when you have memories of participating not going well too, right? I was talking to a lot of the folks at Representative Town Meeting who were caucusing in who hadn't had not participated in a long time. And those of us there who sort of are Representative Town Meeting regulars were joking like, well, are they going to come back for like, the thing in March? And someone's like, well, once you've actually been to the meeting and like suffered through the 14 hours it sometimes takes, like, why would you come back? And like a lot of the people there were people who used to participate a lot and don't anymore. And that's part of the responsibility of freedom too, is to like make sure your participation does not ruin other people's participation, right? Like it is about your sharing space in a community. And that might be like not littering, right? And that also might be like not littering with your mouth in a public forum.
If you've attended a number of your towns, I'm just talking generally, every town I think has that person that when someone stands up to talk, everyone's like, oh God, here they are.
Yeah.
And yeah, we all know that. Yeah, I think sometimes we do ourselves a disservice. I know I've said this before, but so often we want our democracy to be that Hollywood montage where there's a great rousing anthem music and everything comes together and everyone's working and woohoo, and then you get what you want at the end. And no one has to work very hard, and it only takes like 3 minutes of screen time, if that much. And unfortunately, sometimes democracy is a slog.
Oh my God. Yeah. I love the West Wing so much, and I wish I was that snappy and charming all the time. But yeah, a lot of democracy is just like sitting in a room with usually a not very comfortable room with not very nice chairs and like just reasoning it out with people with very different experiences than you.
I
And that
sometimes
is beautiful in the abstract, but sometimes not so beautiful in the reality.
it well, I think sometimes it's one of those things that's beautiful when everything's done. But in the middle of it's just, I often feel that sometimes when I'm going through policy, when I'm reading a piece of policy for my job, I feel a little bit like what really happened was you had this big ball of different yarns. And the policy didn't even start with a blank page. It started with all this yarn knotted together. old policy, old laws, old ways of doing things, what we want now, what we can do now, funding streams we have now, and you've kind of got to unpick them all from each other before you can even write the policy, and not all the knots come out. So even
No.
at the end of this brand new policy, you still have a little rat's nest of different yarns that are all sort of tangled together.
Yeah, I mean, Becca Ballant's sort of like regular expression when she was in the Vermont legislature was about the state being held together with duct tape and baling twine. And I would say that like a lot of our statute is layers of duct tape and baling twine as well. It's funny, I am very involved right now in sort of executing a very recent piece of statute. And people who are involved with it but are not legislators keep on questioning sort of the balance between these two pieces of it and like finding them contradictory. And I'm like, yeah, that piece is the piece I wanted. And the other piece is the piece that the chair of the Finance Committee wanted in the Senate. And we needed to keep both pieces so the bill would pass. And yes, they totally do not balance each other very well. But like either we had no bill or we left both of these pieces in.
Can you tell us which piece of policy this
It's
is?
like it's not very interesting, which is why I was not specific. It's like these two different sets of sort of like study committee recommendations. Yeah. With
Yeah,
slightly.
it had two pieces that were so important, they had to be in there or it wouldn't pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, it's just recommendations for a study committee.
Fun.
Yeah. And like, that is compromise sometimes. And that is funny.
How are you feeling going into this new session, given that we have had changes and some leadership changes, some chair, some not chair, some people, like you said, who had a lot of skills navigating policy aren't coming back. How are you feeling about the new session? Are you a little worried or? Like how you laughed.
I think I'm just like straight up scared, but it's not about sort of like, whether or not we have the majority. I think we'll figure out how to get good work done regardless. A lot of the people that I really trusted to have tough conversations about what was going on are not returning, and I feel really sad about that. And I also feel sort of excited that maybe that means that I'm going to like, get to know new people that I might not have spent as much time with otherwise. I think the part that's most about the session that feels most relevant to this conversation, last week we talked about education and finance. That's going to be the bulk of my work this session. But the other piece that we're going to be really focusing on, as the two other pieces we're really going to be focusing on as a caucus and probably as a legislature, are like what following through on our previous commitments looks like, right? What like account making sure that our statute is accountable and that we're accountable to Vermonters for that statute. And then like prevention, protection, planning for the new presidency. And that is both scary because like pretty much everything in our environment, in my environment at least, tells me to be scared of it, right? Like and I think like the outrage economy and the attention economy are sort of designed to wind me up on that stuff. Even though like nothing's actually happened yet. Like every cabinet pick is more and more outrageous than the last, but like they haven't even been appointed yet. Like nothing has happened. So trying to like hold it together through that and needing to plan statute or plan for an economy, right? Like on ways and means, we're really like sort of planning for future economic states. That's a lot of what we do. And we have, usually during a presidential campaign, there's very clear policy proposals that are put forward. But the policy proposals that the media is talking about and that, like, even Moody's Analytics is talking about are tweets or like think tank papers from a think tank that might be a couple steps removed from the president-elect. And so, and like the House barely has a majority, right? Like the Republicans barely have a majority in the House. Like we actually have no idea what will happen at all. None. Zero. And it's very wild to try to plan legislation that's responsive to that. And some of that's like we have been doing work steadily in response to other federal actions, right? Related to the environment. Some of that is like, about Vermont's relation, somewhat difficult relationship with the EPA, and how we're sort of planning for that. Will the EPA suddenly not care about what we're doing anymore? We don't know, right? Should we still follow through on our obligations? Probably. Some of it is like, what is totally rewriting our education finance and education delivery policy in the context of like maybe the Department of Education is going to disappear? Like,
The federal
the
department,
federal, right? Like, is that really going to happen? I don't know. Seems like it's probably harder to do that than some people might think. But, the world is an ever-changing place. And then, we're in the middle of, we're sort of near the end of renegotiating a Medicaid agreement with the feds. And that's something that happens maybe every 5 years. I'm not quite sure on that number. And it's a really big deal. Our Medicaid dollars are not just the dollars that go to like directly pay for people's health care who are on Medicaid. We use Medicaid dollars in a wide variety of ways. And actually, even who we deliver that sort of Medicaid health insurance coverage to is different from other states. And so that relationship, that contract with the feds around how we spend Medicaid dollars is like shapes the whole of state government. And we're sort of in end stages of this negotiation. What happens if things change at the federal level in the middle of that negotiation? We have no idea. So that's a really interesting part of it.
Well, this is me being very cynical, but sometimes creating chaos is a strategy.
I think creating chaos is a strategy. I think there's also like a lot of opportunity that can come out of chaos if you're ready for it. But it's hard to plan to be ready for it.
Yes, and pivot in something, our governmental system is capable of pivoting, as we saw during COVID, but it does its best work when it doesn't have to do a lot of pivoting. Yeah, does its best work when it's got a lot of data and a lot of input from community members. Yeah, it's when it does its best work. So I guess, part of my question is, how do we, given that we, and I use that very broadly, community-wise, so many of us are feeling very tired right now. And I know curiosity for me is one of my superpowers. Like if I can get curious about something, I can usually get through anything. And I feel my curiosity waning on a lot of things. And I know for you've got a lot of slogs ahead of you. What are you doing to keep yourself moving forward? I know for me, one of my rules, we were joking about the internet earlier, is I always try to create something before I consume, in the morning.
Such the plan, such inspiration. Oh
Well,
my God.
sometimes the creation is, whining in a journal for a few pages, but
Olga.
yeah, I do try to make before I consume.
Wow, what a great mantra.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So I have to say, like last night's representative town meeting and the debate itself, regardless of the vote, actually was like really inspiring to me. It was really low on righteousness and really, not absent righteousness, but low on righteousness, low on repetitiveness, high on respect. You know, it made me love Brattleboro a little bit more,
Yay.
which is always nice. And like, it's amazing to love something more that you already love so much, right? But I'm really, I think rest is huge for me right now. I was trying to put away my phone for 24 hours once a week, and I need to get back to that. I'm
Yeah, good
hoping
job.
to really like cuddle up and be warm in the holidays, like really just sort of embrace the dark, right? Embrace the light in the dark, embrace the cracks, spend some time with Leonard Cohen. And keep the curious. Because the curious for me too is what is so extraordinary. And I think particularly with all of these new members in the State House, like really appreciating how new and beautiful and brilliant it is for all of them, and how new and beautiful and brilliant it can be for me each time, right? It is such an honor to be living in this state. With all of its problems, sure, but like, oh my goodness, it is so beautiful. And people are, for the most part, so kind. And the folks I serve with are so committed and really do make like pretty big sacrifices to do the work. And I'm just gonna try to like hold on to that.
Yep. Well, because inside curiosity is that next question of what if, which can open a lot of doors to new possibilities. It'll be interesting, as we go into the new session with so many new people. A lot of people looked at this last round of local elections specifically as sort of a backlash against taxes, a backlash against rising costs and that type of thing. So it'll be interesting to see what people, especially the newbies, feel is their mandates from the community, their communities. And what communities are asking for.
And how to, what does it mean at a state level to make Vermont more affordable for people, right? Like we've spent so many episodes talking about that, Olga. And what is within our control and what really isn't.
Well, and what I think also we've talked a lot about, parsing language and what do a lot of these big things mean. Like when we talk about affordability, I think a lot of us all nod and say, yeah, affordability would be great. But what's affordable to one person, or how we get to affordability is where a lot of the nuance remains. And so how can we get as specific as possible about what are the different things we're aiming towards? And freedom and unity. I think I'm glad you said that at the top of the show because I think it's my favorite state motto. I really love the state motto and I love the
Have
concept.
you checked out all the other state mottos?
Not every single one, but most of them, yes.
Oh,
And some
I
of
don't think
them
I've
are,
ever spent real time with that. I appreciate that.
yeah, a lot of them are not as inspiring, really. Well, and I guess freedom and unity feels a little bit like a call to action. You know, when you get other state mottos like, oh, the such and such state, or the, you know, it's freedom and unity sounds a little more something we're aiming at. Feels a little more goal oriented. I don't know. Like I said, that might be my tiger running for the horizon.
Your tiger running for the horizon, is that what you said?
Yes. To bring it back to the woo-woo from the first half of the show.
I love it.
So we'll have to revisit freedom and unity. Any last thoughts before we head out?
I think they're, I feel like I've had this last thought before we headed out a bunch of times, but let's like take care of our neighbors and be cared for by our neighbors. Let's allow ourselves to be cared for by our neighbors. I think that is just as important as caring for our neighbors.
Well, and I feel very blessed right now. You know, you and I came into this show feeling very tired. And our conversation went frickin' everywhere. Probably not following what a quote unquote proper podcast or radio show should be at all. And yet, I'm grateful we had the space for it. I don't know if it served listeners today, but I think it definitely served us, which we may have needed.
Firmly agreed, firmly agreed. Thank you, Olga.
Yes.
And we are
So,
coming up on finishing our sixth year here on the podcast.
oh my gosh,
Yeah.
it's pretty wild.
Wild. We are like one of the longer running podcasts in America, I think, at this point.
Well, that's a pretty bold statement.
I know. I just made it up. Do you like it?
It.
Good.
We really should update the photo on our web page. It is from the COVID times. But thank you for always showing up. Thank you to listeners for showing up. And it's a reminder of what you can do when you show up and you keep showing up. For better or for worse, which I guess brings us back to democracy. Okay, folks, on that note, the Montpelier Happy Hour says goodbye and thank you to all our listeners. Hey, Emily, if people want to reach out to you, how can they do that?
Folks can go to emilykornheiser.org and you'll find links to all the things, especially my newsletter.
Fantastic. Of course, you can always drop us a line at the Montpelier Happy Hour at gmail.com. We're on WVEWLP Brattleboro every Friday at 2, rebroadcasted on Wednesdays, BCTV, and of course, wherever you subscribe to your podcasts. And make sure you come back next week and you can hear from some of the newbie lawmakers, Zahn and Ian and Emily. I'm looking forward to that conversation. So take care, everyone. Have a good weekend.